seeds flow. For as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove. Of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Oh, y'all sound good. Y'all sound good. Oh, which one now? Oh, okay, well, all right. I didn't want to blast him out. Page 81, O Come, All Ye Faithful. You see, we love participation.
There's nothing like a church that participates. We love it. We love it.
Praise the Lord. It is so good for us to be here on this beautiful Sunday morning and with this congregation that looks so good. And the ones that are out in the parking lot, we greet you also to be here. Yes, I'm just singing loud. I can cut up a little bit. Thank you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storms with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked a rain's trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will eat, the tongue will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will rule one day the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is a great I Oh, Mary,
oh, yes. I heard someone on the radio this morning, he wondered what Joseph called Jesus. Did he call him, did he call him Savior? Did he call him Father? The angel said, just call him Jesus. And he did.
You know, Jesus is the reason for the season. I've got my snowman and my Santa sweater on. That's not what it's all about. How many white Christmases have we had in North Carolina? I can probably count them on this one hand. Not very many that I can remember. Jesus. It's a reason for it all. And there is none like him. What a gift that God gave us when he gave us his son.
There's none like him. There's no other like him. For he alone can only satisfy.
When my soul needs a touch, Lord, you're the one I need so much. For there is none,
there's no other like
my soul needs to refresh from life's pressures, and my dreams and plans have all fallen through. There is someone who knows.
knows all the load we bear. Jesus Christ is that someone who cares.
There's none like Him. There's no other like Jesus. For He alone can only satisfy.
When my soul needs a touch, Lord, You're the one I need so much. For there is none, there's no other like Him. All the earth and heaven sings for His praises, and creation declares all His splendor. There are no other gods to Him can compare. There are none like His beauty so rare.
There's none like Him. There's no other like Jesus. For He alone can only satisfy.
When my soul needs a touch, Lord, You're the one I need so much. For there is none, there's no other like When my soul needs a touch, Lord, You're the one I need so much. For there is none, there's no other like Him. For there is none, there's no
You know the sing, you probably heard it on the radio. Sing it with me.
I love You, Lord. Oh, Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will see of the goodness of God. Hallelujah.
All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love Your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkness night. You are close like no other. I've known You as a father. I've known You as a friend. Hallelujah. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
All my life You have been faithful.
Hallelujah.
All my life You have been so good. With every breath that I am able,
will see of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me.
Hallelujah.
Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid out, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Hallelujah.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Lord, we give you praise for your goodness. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that when we begin to stray, that the goodness of God will chase after us. He loves us, and he does not want anyone to perish.
This song is a song that Gail wrote. It's one of her many songs. She wrote it from a cantata that she wrote. And this is a song that is like 3.5 minutes gospel right here.
Born of a Virgin Mary in a stable with no place to call home. Slain from the foundation of the world, he was not his own. A lamb spotlessly white. For a Savior had been born to conquer sin, for the captive in the night. He was born to die, to take the sins of you and me. Pay redemption's price, the pure and holy sacrifice. Flowed from Calvary's tree. Oh, nothing else had set me free. crucify this man, they cried. Take your cross to Calvary's for the tomb was only borrowed, for the grave could not hold him still. No, no, he arose with resurrection power, victorious redemption to bring. Oh, grave, where's thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? He was born to die, to take the sins of you and me, to pay redemption's price, the pure and holy sacrifice, the blood that flowed from Calvary's tree. Oh, nothing else can set me free, born to die.
About these shepherds were gathered on the hillside. They had settled down for the night, and all of a sudden, the heavenly host opened up, the sky opened up, and there was a heavenly host proclaiming, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now, if I'd been a shepherd out there on the hillside, and I heard that, I'd be scared to death. I'd be shaking in my sandals. But anyway, whoever wrote this song the fastest I have ever in my life heard. But we're going to try to sing it this morning because we needed a fast song. No, I really do like this song, but you'll get the message to the song by the words if I'm finding the key. Right here we go.
Look up, fear not, the angel said, behold, Messiah's come, the one of whom you read, and as he spoke to men that day, the heavenly host around the throne joined in to say,
glory to God in highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Every angel announced his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin.
Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord. Amen.
Asked him today, the wise men come, offering their praise to God's anointed one. As then they speak, their heart filled love. This glorious sound was on my ear from up above.
Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy, equal forms, save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in the little town called Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born and saved the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in a little town called Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in a little town called Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. Born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen.
Amen. Give him another big hand. Thank y'all so much. Such a blessing. And the Holy Spirit just works. Them songs that they brought this morning about the mercy of the Lord, that's what we're preaching on this morning. And if you got your Bibles, turn in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I know this time of year everybody expects us to be in Luke or in Matthew talking about the birth, the announcement and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing this morning. I see some familiar faces here from the Cowboy Church. Y'all going to get a double dose, because this is what I preached at the Cowboy Church Tuesday night, but the Holy Spirit always has it preached a little bit different for different congregations. But I just want you to know that a lot of times, and I've heard this said before, I believe Chuck Swindoll said one time that, you know, when he was young in his preaching career, a lot of times you get to passages in the Bible and you kind of skip over them. Not intentionally, it just happens. And I was thinking about it back in the fall, that every Christmas when you preach through the gospel and of Luke or Matthew and you're preaching about the birth of Christ, you're preaching about the announcement and how they got to Bethlehem and how he was born and what happened to the wise men and what happened to the shepherds. And we skip over these songs. There's three songs in here. Mary's got a song. Zacharias has got a song, and then Simeon in the temple's got a song when Jesus is presented to him. And if you remember, we had started back in Exodus, back in the fall, and I'd said that if you didn't understand the first five books of the Bible, it's hard to understand the New Testament. That is foundational. And I preached, and the Lord helped, and we got up to the Exodus from Egypt, where God led the Israelites out of the bondage of the slavery of sin. He led them right up to the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds, and Pharaoh's army was closing in behind them, and they was panicking, and they looked at Moses, and they said, "Why did you bring us out here? Wasn't any graveyards left in Egypt?" And he said, "What have you done to us?" And God told Moses to tell the people just to be silent. And what your God fight for you. And it says that the cloud come behind them and separated them so the darkness, the soldiers couldn't come near them at night. And he told Moses to stretch out his hand, strike the water, said it parted. And it says that the ground congealed. And they walked across on dry land. And the Lord delivered them. And once the Lord had delivered them, Moses and all the leaders of Israel began to sing. And Miriam, his sister, it says she was a prophetess. In other words, she was telling of the greatness of God. She brought the women out, and the whole congregation was singing and praising God for what he had done, for who he was, for how he had had regard for them. And that set the tone of when we see these songs in the Bible, we need to consider, because they're singing of the greatness of God, of the mightiness of God, of the greatness of God's mercy, we need to consider their point of view, and we need to join in with them. Now, I'm not saying when you're interpreting the Bible, I can say, well, I know what she was thinking, or I know what he's thinking, because I don't. All we know is what the Bible tells us. But right here in this, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 1, beginning in verse 46, we see that Mary just breaks out singing. And that's what we need to be doing at Christmas time. So I'm going to give you a little background out after I pray here, and then we're going to jump right into this. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we look at this text this morning, Lord, I pray right now, as we pause and consider the greatness of your mercy, how a holy and mighty God had regard for our humble state, that it would motivate us to magnify the greatness of your mercy by rejoicing in our Lord everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's the question I got for you this morning. Are you happy that the Christmas season has arrived? Or are you happy that you get to worship the arrival of our Savior? Last night I thought about that. We left here and I was all excited, and I got to the grocery store and they was out there ringing the Christmas bells and everything's going up, and I walked up and they said, "Happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays." And I was like, well, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And I get to thinking about it. We get so busy thinking about Christmas is coming, we got to put up a Christmas tree. Christmas is coming, we got to do this. Christmas is coming, we got to do this. I love Christmas. It's a joyful time of year. If we're not careful, we let the Christmas season take over our Savior. We need to be excited that Jesus had regard for us. And this is what happened. To give you a little background, and you know the familiar story, an angel named Gabriel. We got two angels in the Bible by name, Gabriel and Daniel. Gabriel showed up. He'd already spoken with Zechariah. And Zechariah said, you know, hey, I believe you, but I need a little proof. How do I know? And so the angel told him, you know, you like Wes, you just keep talking when you ought to be quiet. So he just made him deaf and mute for 9 months. Amen? Y'all got that? And so, look, you just don't tell God, I need some proof. God tells you just wait and watch. Amen? And so he goes to Mary, and the angel tells Mary that she's going to conceive and bore a son, and that he will be of the Most High God. Well, she didn't doubt. She's just like, look, I remember the seventh grade, and I'm not sure how this is going to work out. And he says, you're going to be overshadowed by the Most High, by the Holy Spirit, and that's why this holy child will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be holy. And it says then, one of the greatest professions of a disciple is when Mary said, behold, the bondservant of my Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. When was the last time you said, Lord, I believe you. Can't really figure out how you're going to work out these details. But let everything that your words say be done to me. So Mary, young girl, didn't know exactly what to do. But the angel had told her when she said, I don't understand how this is work. And the angel Gabriel said, well, nothing's impossible with God. Now we've heard that before with Abraham and Sarah. He says, nothing is impossible with God. He said, consider your cousin Elizabeth. She's beyond childbearing years, yet she has conceived a son who's going to be a prophet, the last Old Testament prophet. If God can do that for her, he can do this through you. God is going to use Elizabeth, and God is going to use you, Mary, to bring about his plan of salvation. So what does Mary do? I love this. She didn't know how God's going to bring this about, but the angel told her God's already working in Elizabeth's life. And so when the angel departed Mary, it said Mary went immediately to Elizabeth. I don't know what God's doing, but he's doing in Elizabeth. Elizabeth's older than I am. Elizabeth's been around longer than I have. Elizabeth probably knows the Bible better than I do. I know what I'll do. I'm going to get up and go to church in the morning so I can figure out what the Lord's doing in my life. There ain't no amens in here. That's why God brings Christians together, believers together. Look at it. He brought Elizabeth together. He brought Mary together. When Mary walks in, she greets Elizabeth. So they cousins, so I guess she just threw the screen door open, went on in the house, and she's like, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. And it says when Elizabeth heard the voice, says that John the Baptist, the child within her womb, leaped because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she says, what is this? That the mother of, and listen to this, my Lord would come in my house. That it be in my presence, that would be here. And she says, blessed are you among women, and you will be called blessed. Now, you see, our Catholic friends make a whole lot out of Mary being a little more than what the Bible says it is. And then us as Protestants, we don't want to put too much emphasis on Mary, so we don't talk about her much. Let me tell you what, God chose Mary to use her in a mighty way. And through Mary, everybody in this world has been blessed. Because God chose her. And why do we remember Mary? Because she was the mother of our Lord. Why was she the mother of our Lord? Because God planned it that way. How did she become the mother of our Lord? She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. How does that work? I don't know, but when I get to heaven, we can talk about it. Amen? And so she says this, and look, Elizabeth, she says right here, here's why you're going to be blessed. And I'm going to talk about these words in a minute. I just needed to get y'all in some background here for Christmas. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Here's why Mary of Nazareth is blessed. She believed God and acted on everything he said. She says, Lord, I don't know when this is going to happen, and I don't know how it's going to happen, and I don't know what else is going to happen, but Lord, whatever you do, wherever you lead, and wherever you go, I'll go with you if nobody else goes with me. That's Christmas. That's what we need to commit to. So Elizabeth, and I'm going to come back to her in just a minute, but then when Elizabeth says this in verse 46, listen to what it says. Mary said, or you can say she started singing, it says, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and his name is holy, and his mercy is from upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who is humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent away the rich empty-handed. He has helped Israel, his servant, in the remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned home. Look what Mary done. Mary broke out in praise. She magnified the greatness of God's mercy. This word here that begins this, where it's translated into Latin, is where we get that word magnificat. And that word magnificat is where a lot of songs, a lot of Christmas stuff has been made of. It simply means magnify the Lord. It means make great. Magnify the graces of what? Did you see how many times she talked about mercy here? The mercy of the Lord. Now, I've heard it said that grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy, God not giving us what we do deserve. And that's a pretty good preaching term. It sounds good and make a good bumper sticker. But to me, grace and mercy are so close together, it's hard to make definitions of them. They are different words, and there's two words used here for mercy. And then you got grace, too, because it's already talked about this when Gabriel showed up. But grace is God showing us favor. Grace is God obviously being gracious to us, something that we don't deserve. He does that for us. But then mercy, on the other hand, is God's goodness you were singing about, His loving kindness. It's His favor that He gives to us when we can't do something for ourselves. That word is used here with the Good Samaritan. And I just got to jump. I wanted to save this to the end, but I just got to tell you about this. When Jesus sent the 70 disciples out and they went out and they come back and they was rejoicing, they said, "Lord, you ain't going to believe this. The demons was even obeying us." And this Jesus says this: "Don't rejoice that the demons obeyed you. Rejoice that your name has been written in the book of life for eternal life." And then it says, Jesus prayed and He rejoiced from then about the disciples before the Father. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Can you imagine that? Jesus rejoiced because of the disciples. And He goes on from right there to say, they start asking questions, the religious leaders, and He tells them about a Good Samaritan. Tells them about a preacher. Tells them about a religious person. And then He tells them about a Samaritan who didn't even like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like the Samaritan. Yet He's seen a man beat, bloody, and instead of walking around him, He took him. He bandaged his wounds. He had mercy on him, something that man couldn't done. He took him to the inn. When he got ready to leave, He paid the man and said, "I'll come back if I owe you any more. I'm going to do so. I'm going to have regard for him." That's what God's done for us. And look what Mary says right here. It says, "My soul exalts the Lord," or magnifies the Lord, "and my spirit has rejoiced in me, in God my Savior." Now here's the best way I can explain these two words. Exalt, and y'all know I don't pronounce things good, and exalt. Okay? Exalt, that's praise. Y'all know what you're talking about. They were singing a while ago. I didn't want to look back, make nobody, but I'm not good at this either, because I was raised in the Baptist church where you don't move during church, right? Now here's what it means to exalt. You praise, and you know, you're getting excited about the song and you go, And finally, you see somebody else, so you're like, "Yeah, brother." Now that's exalt. Now, when it gets all over you and it starts really getting good and you're hearing how God is up from the grave, He arose, all of a sudden, this is exalt. You're up on your feet before you know it. You're talking about, "I'm not just rejoicing. Man, I done got my foot to going with the music here. I'm ready to sing. I'm ready to tell y'all about my Jesus." This is what Mary says. When Mary comes in, she don't know what's going on. She comes into the presence of Elizabeth. Elizabeth starts rejoicing, and Mary starts rejoicing, and she says here that my soul rejoices in God my Savior. And then the next verse right there, it gives us what causes her to start rejoicing. She says, "God has caused me just to break out in singing, break out in praise, because He's had," say, "regard. Regard for me. God has noticed me. I'm a 13-year-old girl with no future, born on the wrong side of the tracks. I'm fixed to be pregnant. My husband wants to divorce me. My daddy wants to kick me out of the house. I don't even know where I live, but my God has had regard. He's done mighty things for me. With His outstretched hand, just as He brought the Israelites through the Red Sea, He's going to bring me through this. And He's going to use me to bless the whole world. How's He going to do it? I don't know, but I know this. People are going to be talking about me in 2022 at Hunt Springs Baptist Church. He's had regard to me." And you say, "Well, how are we supposed to see that today? But it's not going to be any more virgin birth." No, it's not. But let me give you this. In 1994, Jesus in heaven looked down, and I believe this with all my heart, and He saw a little confused Chatham County boy, and He looked at God the Father, and He says, "Let me tell you something. Wesley has really messed up his life. I've had regard for him. Let me go down to earth." And in a cradle, I'll start my life where he messed his up. I'll become fully man and fully God. I'll be born by the Holy Spirit, by a virgin. The sin nature that entered Wesley and everybody at Hunt Springs Church when they was born won't enter me, because Adam's not my daddy. God Almighty is. But I can live the life he should have lived, because my mama's fully human. I'll have the mind of a human, the holiness of God, and I'll live the life he should have lived. And 33 years later, from the cradle, I'll go to the cross. And I'm going to have regard for him and for you. I'll die in his place. And I'll give my life a sacrifice for the debt he owes. And I'll be buried. And 3 days later, Lord, when you raise me from the grave, Wesley will know that his sins can be forgiven, because you've accepted my sacrifice in his place. And you'll exalt me and crown me king. And if he believes, I'll go from the cradle to the cross to the crown, and I'll be king of his life for as long as he lives. When God has regard for you and you believe him, your life will never be the same, and you're going to rejoice everywhere you go. Think about what happened to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is old beyond childbearing years. In their culture, if you ain't had children, it's because you done something wrong. God was mad at you. She's been picked on, ridiculed, didn't get to go to the PTA, didn't go to the WMU. She couldn't go do nothing because everybody's like, well, she must have done something wrong. And now finally, she is with child. She's excited. God's doing a mighty work. Everybody in town is talking about her, bragging on her, lifting her up. And Mary walks in, the mother of the Lord. And instead of Elizabeth saying, look at me, she says, God bless you, Mary, because God's doing great things with you. Here's what's going on right there. When we exalt or magnify God's mercy instead of ourselves, here's what happens. We look at what God is doing with other people, and they look at what God's doing in our life, and we praise God for using us all in the glory of his kingdom. Two different people God used for the same purpose, to bring about the salvation of the world, but he gave them different roles. When we make God number one, we don't worry about who's number two. Think about this. She says, look what God has done for you, Mary. Mary knows that Elizabeth is blessed. As she says, he's had regard for this humble state. For hold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Say blessed. There's a lot of definitions for this. This is the same words that they use in the Beatitudes. It's the same word that Jesus uses over here in chapter 6 in Luke in the Beatitudes, where he says, you know, blessed are you. And he actually says this. Leap for joy when they persecute you for my name's sake. For yours is the kingdom of God. So think about this. Joseph is talking about sending Mary away secretly. Her daddy's talking about kicking her out of the house. All the neighborhood is talking about her because she's doing what God wants to. And Jesus is saying, well, leap for joy. Because guess what? When this turns out the way I got it planned, everybody's going to be amazed. Mary says, from generation to generation, they're going to call me blessed. Here's my definition of blessed. Look, that's what it looks like to be happy. Have you ever been following Jesus and everything still seems to be going wrong? And for some reason, you're like, Lord, I don't know why, but I'm really happy today. And people see you smiling and they're like, what you so happy about? Really don't know. It's just God. He's working this stuff out. How do you know? Because it ain't no way I could have done it. That's the kind of things that we tell people about. And this is what Mary is doing in this song. So we need to run down through here and see what she says. She starts giving a profession. This is the best way I can describe these next few verses. That is a public profession or a public statement of what God is. First of all, holy is his name. He's mighty. He's done great things. And for him to be holy and to save me and change me and make me great, she's saying, holy is his name. I'm going to tell everybody that there's no other God holy like our God. And that his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him. Think about what Elizabeth said. Elizabeth said, Mary, you are blessed and you're going to be called blessed. People's going to say, look, that's what happy looks like. Look at Mary. She's blessed because she's believed God. But here Mary's saying, I did believe God, but it wasn't me. It was God. It was the Holy Spirit. It was him sending his angel. Listen to what it said in Paul writes to the Corinthian church in chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accused, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. How did Elizabeth know that Mary was carrying her Lord? The Holy Spirit. It was a God thing. Out of 202 times in the Gospels, the word Lord is used, and Luke uses it 104 times. And here is the first time we see anybody profess Jesus is Lord. We always think Peter did it when Jesus says, who do they say I am? Peter said, you are the Lord. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior. But Elizabeth was the first one to say it. She said, you're my Lord. How do you know? The Holy Spirit told me. How do you know that? My baby leaped. How do you know? Well, the angel said that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from conception throughout his life to carry out the work of God. Look, I remember when I was like this. Look what Paul says here. In chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, He says the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. He cannot understand because they are spiritually appraised. So he's saying, guess what? You said, well, I used not to be saved. I used not to understand. Why not? Because you weren't saved. When the Holy Spirit, when we say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm believing you. I know I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to forgive me. The Holy Spirit fills us at the same time we really begin to believe. And you say, no, I thought I believed, and then the Holy Spirit filled me. Look, I said when I first got saved, when I get to heaven, first thing I'm going to ask, probably not the first thing, but I will ask, how did the Holy Spirit and my belief work together so quickly? Because I understand after living 31 years the way I did, always trying to do it my way, that if the Holy Spirit hadn't filled me, I'd have never believed. I'd still be believing that I could do it my way and God would be happy with me. Anybody with me? Or y'all all better than I am? When we think about the Christian life, we thank Lord for the Holy Spirit. Think that God the Father loved us so much, he had regard for us, sent his Son not only to die for us, but also so that we could know God. How does God want us to live? How does God live with us? Look at Jesus' life. The way Jesus lived on this earth is the way God wants to live with us throughout eternity. He wants to dwell among us, walk with us, laugh with us, talk with us, help us when we're down, lift us up, comfort us, wipe away our tears. That's our God. Jesus lived in the flesh. And according to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 15, he was tempted in everything we are, yet without sin. Hey, we can take our prayers to Jesus. I know what you're thinking. My life is tough. If he just knew what I'm going through, God knew. Jesus has been through everything you've been through. You can let Jesus know what's going on in your life. You can ask him to help. And you can take his promises that is in the Bible. And trust them and keep following him and say, Lord, I don't know when you're going to work this out, but I believe you will. And it's okay some days to say, but Lord, I wish you'd hurry up. Because God wants to have a relationship with us just like a father has. And she says here that his mercy is upon generation after generation because of all God's plan from Genesis chapter 3 forward until the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and now, hey, we was always going to be saved by faith in the Messiah, the Savior, and we're still being saved. We ought to believe this morning, Mary. Mary hadn't seen Jesus yet. He was just singing, Mary, did you know? Guess what? We done read about it. We got the book, and we know how it ends.
We ought to be so excited about this that we tell other people, our grandkids, our friends, our co-workers, that, hey, look, God has always worked out and kept his promises. And to those who fear him, he will continue to do that. She says, he has done mighty deeds with his stretched out arm. This goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 14 when they were singing after they was delivered through the Red Sea. And it says here, he scattered those who are proud in their thoughts, and he brought down rulers from their thrones. And he exalted those who were hungry, who were humble, and he filled the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich away empty-handed. Now, I know what y'all thinking. There's some leaders, and I'll be glad when God knocks them down. Tell the truth, y'all in church. I hate I voted for them. I couldn't believe they done that. God's going to get them. One day, I'm going to be in charge. This is not what this is talking about. Does God take down rulers of evil kingdoms? Yes. Does God exalt people and people that you wouldn't ever see in leadership? Does he raise them up? Yes. You know what this is talking about? That cross. Mary says, tell you about my Jesus. He makes the playing field even. I don't care if you're from Nazareth. I don't care if you're 13 years old with no husband. Or I don't care if you're a king and you live in a palace. God will lift up those who humbly believe him. And he'll bring down those who are haughty on their knees before the cross of Christ. Everybody becomes equal. And God gives mercy to anybody that will bend their knee and bow their head and call Jesus Lord. We're all equal. Now, that's mercy. You know, we can spend our whole life trying to climb the corporate ladder. We can spend our whole life trying to keep our retirement accounts from being empty by the time we retire. But no matter how much money we got or what kind of house we live in, the most important thing in our life is that we're known by God. And we recognize that he had regard and had mercy and lifted us up. And when we believe that, we will enter this Christmas season not thinking about the happy holidays, but thinking about rejoicing in Jesus, my Savior, as Mary did. Said he sent away the rich empty-handed. He's given Israel, his servant, help. In what? In remembrance of his mercy. Chapter 17 of Genesis, he told Abraham. He'd already promised Abraham in chapter 12. In chapter 11 of Genesis, the world had done everything they could to make a name for themselves and exalt themselves and make them great. If you remember the story, they built the Tower of Babel. And then God looked over and said, and it says, he looked down and said, let us go see what they're doing. The greatest technology and the effort the world had ever seen was so small that God had to go down there and see what it was. And then he scrambled them. And it says, because they wanted to make a name for themselves. And he chose one man, Abraham, who was not saved, who his father was a pagan worshiper, and he called him out of the land of Ur. And he says, I will make your name great. I will make you a nation. I will make your descendants a blessing unto all nations. And then over in chapter 17, he tells them, he says, as your descendants grow into a nation, they'll spend 400 years in captivity. Now, can you see Abraham? He'd be like, Lord, you made me all these promises, 400 years. How long am I going to live? And God's not much longer. You're not going to see it, but you're going to see my promise. And 400 years later, he delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. This is what Mary's talking about. Mary says, he delivered Israel because he remembered his mercy. He promised to always be merciful and have regard and to save those who believe in him. And he always does. He keeps his promise. And she says, he has spoken to our father Abraham and to his descendants forever. In other words, the promises at the beginning are fulfilled in the end. And everything in between is about Jesus and His great mercy towards us. And that ought to cause us to magnify the greatness of His mercy by being happy, by rejoicing. Hey, your situation might not be good, but your Savior is. Now, think about what we got here. Mary knew Scripture. This song is quoting other songs like Hannah's song in Samuel. When Hannah dedicated her only son, Samuel, to the Lord. She knows Scripture. She knows the promises of God. We need to learn these promises of God. You say, well, how do I know God's mercy is so great? You need to be watching for it and see God do something. Well, how do I know what to watch for? The more you read your Bible, the more you'll know to look at what God's doing around you. John Piper said one time that God is doing 10,000 things around us a day, and we're lucky if we see one of them. She knew her Bible. Also, they believed that God would keep His promises. Her Aunt Elizabeth believes that. And guess what? Although Mary wasn't perfect, Mary said, God can still use me. Although Mary was young, God can still use me. Although Elizabeth was old, God can still use me. If you're here this morning, you're either young, old, or in between. Guess what? God can still use you. And you might think, well, no, you don't know what I've done, preacher. I've messed up my life too much. Let me tell you something. James, Jesus' half-brother, says that there's no sin greater than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be forgiven and used. And last, I want you to remember this, because this is talking about being humble before the Lord. Elizabeth rejoiced about what God was doing in Mary's life. Mary rejoiced and went to see Elizabeth to see what God was doing in her life. God used Elizabeth and Mary, and although they had two different roles, they were equally important in God's plan of salvation. God will use us all. If you want to really magnify the mercy of God, tell somebody about how God saved you and how He can save them. We should never be ashamed to tell other people that God is still in the heart-changing business. And a changed heart leads to a changed life. And we want to magnify the greatness of God's mercy by rejoicing in God our Savior. Let us pray. If you're here this morning, and you may have heard a lot of times that God is merciful, God is graceful, and you know that God helps other people. You might be here, though, and you just hadn't ever really surrendered to God and said, God, I know I've done some things I shouldn't have done. Lord, I know I haven't really lived my life Your way, and Lord, I'm trying to get my life straight so that You can forgive me. I'm here to tell you that you don't have to wait. That we can't save ourselves. That's why Jesus come and was born, lived, died, was buried and resurrected so we could be forgiven. You just simply say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe You died for me. I believe God raised You to prove that He accepted Your sacrifice. Please forgive me and take control of my life. If you prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. You might have been a Christian a long time, and we get so busy sometimes with church and with Christmas and with holidays. I'm just asking you now to say, Lord, help me magnify Your mercy all through this Christmas season. Lord, when we set to eat, let us remember to pray and tell others how You've done great things in our life. Lord, help us remember to keep You in our schedule. Lord, we've got a lot of things going on between now and Christmas Day. Help us schedule time together in church with other Christians so we can worship You. Kind Father, we thank you that you had regard for us in that when we were separated from you, in that when we were sinners, you demonstrated your love for us, that you died for us while we were still hostile towards you. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And I just pray for everyone here as we go into these last days leading up to celebrating the birth of our Savior, that we would be motivated through the things that you've done in our life, through the things that we see around us the next 2 weeks, that we'd be motivated just to praise you, to exalt you, to just rejoice that we're known by you, that, Lord, we'd just leap for joy that our names is written in the book of life and that we're known by the Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, waste the day when my faith shall be silent. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul. Holy night,
Christ the Savior.